This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation. The New England Patriots at the Combine told Vanderbilt tight end Jarrad Pinkney, "You have a loser's mentality." In a Combine interview, that'll be the first story here as we take a look at the NFL Draft Big Board Report. General at your service, if you see me, bear me. N.A. I prefer that Heineken 0.0 be right on time. Brian Broaddus is here. Jeff Kavanaugh has the day off. Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup there.
I want ribs!
Yeah, let's get some of that going. That kind of, that set my appetite. Okay, yes, under Belichick, the story goes here on Yahoo. They've created a very defined culture. And that's kind of where this story is going. And the interesting takeaway for me is how the Patriots from the very onset are coaching an attitude and a mindset about being great in everything you do. It reminds me of reading Bill Walsh's book. I forget what the name of his book was. But when he arrived with the 49ers, that was his number one thing. Like, everybody act and talk like champions with a winner's mentality. Everybody in the organization had to do it, and it had a real contagious effect. So it's no surprise that Belichick, a modern dynasty in his own right, has this kind of stuff. But here we go. It's interesting, says the prospect, tight end Jarrad Pinkney. This is this the guy Cowboys worked out?
Yeah, they visited with him. Yeah. He ran kind of slow yesterday for everybody. Yeah.
Now he says, it's interesting because with a team that's been winning for as long as they have, you expect them to come in with a certain mentality and to share that mentality and to spread it and impart it on you, said Pinkney with New England Sports Network's Zach Cox. And that's exactly what happened. I gave kind of a wonky answer, and it was like, nope, that's a loser's mentality. And I was like, okay, my bad. And they were like, you need to be like this and that and that. And I was like, yes, sir, I'm better. So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff right there that I think is just a small piece of evidence of their greatness, Brian.
Yeah, that's, you know, when you're looking for those kinds of players. You're looking for those guys that have that type of mentality, and they basically told this kid, like, hey, you better change this if you want to come play for us.
And it sounds like they kind of said it in a way, or he's so much has a growth mindset that however it was said, it wasn't offensive. It was like, okay, well, if that's what I need to do, you guys win, and I'm all ears.
You kind of wonder, you know, when you deal with players, and maybe this is not stereotype a guy, but Vanderbilt, Stanford, and all that, you kind of wonder, well, hey, highly competitive school. Why is your attitude not that of a winner? Why you know, you kind of expected, you're talking to a kid like, wait a minute, you go to school at Vanderbilt. What's your
that's a poor
my
theory is it goes to communication, right?
Yeah.
It's very difficult to communicate a high set of standards and to correct people with ego who are professionals and very good without putting them back on their heels or making them resent you. So I think you have a lot of really smart football, basketball, baseball, hockey people. The guys that have an advantage separating themselves is the ones that can create the standard without getting stressed out and jumping on a guy's back.
Right.
Having a technique where he can receive the message and be motivated instead of demotivated.
Right.
So, and I don't know how you do that. You know, I think it's a genius tactic.
No, I like what they're doing because I wouldn't have been smart enough to ask the question that way or present the question that way. You know, I would have been more about, and I think there's tough questions you have to ask and there's personality questions you have to ask and so on. But it obviously they knew the way to get to him was this way.
Yeah.
Now maybe some players you can't do that. They'll walk out there like, what the hell kind of question was that?
Yeah.
You know, I'm competitive. What are they trying to say here? You know, he took it the right way, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's hard to test people's competitiveness, isn't it? How do you even get into that?
I think that you can challenge people.
Yeah.
I think certain questions can challenge people. I think when you interview people, that's why I always like to study guys or gals that can interview very well, because I think you have to bring it out of people. I think you have to find a way to draw it. I love, and I know he does it on Sirius Radio with Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah.
I love the way he interviews people.
Oh, he's terrific. Yeah, he's very
talented. But he
draws
it out of you, and I think that's important. You know, just not ask a question and not pay attention.
Yeah.
I think that's a bad way to do it.
Okay, up next in the NFL Draft Big Board Report, John Machota, Cowboys beat writer for a decade, emptied his notebook in The Athletic after 4 days at the Combine this week. He's like, okay, here's all my takeaways. The best thing, no doubt, Brian, is they're talking like they're going to be more best player available than before.
Yes.
We're hearing that quite a bit.
Yeah.
Are you buying it?
Yeah, and that's one of my extra questions, if I had to go a little further, that I was going to ask you. Is this the year we finally see? I'm listening to Jerry Jones talk yesterday. It seemed like to me that he is now tired of Taco and tired of Tristan Hill and saying, okay, that was needs. Those were needs.
Yeah.
Let's go back to just taking whoever the best player on that board is.
Yeah.
We need to get back to drafting better.
Boom, Zach Martin's there taken.
Yeah, exactly. Who is the best player on that board? What's the position? I just get the best player.
Yeah.
And if that's what Mike McCarthy wants to do and Jerry Jones wants to do, I'm all for it. But it sounded like to me his attitude is about, and I was going to ask you that, is Jerry Jones now to the point where he's like, guys, I don't want to hear about need anymore.
Yeah.
Who is that best player on that board? And let's make it work.
I certainly hope so. If not, we have a major problem. You know, because it sounds like Mike McCarthy has arrived and been like, holy crap, what did you guys do the last 2 years?
Yeah.
You know, are you kidding me? Yeah. If you would have done it right, Jason Garrett still be the damn coach.
I totally agree with you.
You know,
yeah.
Getting to an NFC championship game was well within reach if you have Juan Thornhill and TJ Watt.
You're absolutely right.
Okay. I love that storyline. We'll keep our fingers crossed. And then when we get to the draft and then post draft, we'll arrive in camp and get a look at these players. And, you know, we'll be on the lookout for red flags that, you know, maybe McCarthy doesn't have that much say, because it's very, very clear he's confident. You give me and I love that, you know, because so many coaches in the NFL are like, no, I'm going to run this scheme. Oh, that player doesn't fit my scheme. Well, okay, you're just going to pass on a guy who's clearly the best guy left.
Right. I think that that the year off helped him realize, wait a minute, I need to change the way I operate.
Okay, you just mentioned Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy staying current, right?
Right.
He's well into his 50s. Andy Reid stayed current. Howard Stern, you listen to him, you can tell he's an older gentleman. He kind of has the vocabulary and the style of a guy in his mid to late 30s still, though.
He does.
You better apply I'm in my mid 40s, you know. You better apply yourself to being able to stay current, or you will quickly get lost with the times and leave you in the dust.
Did you tell that to the little kids today?
No, I should have.
That would have been a good point.
That might have been a little too heavy. I had third, fourth, and fifth graders.
Oh, they'd have picked
it up. You think they would have picked it up pretty good?
Sharp kids.
It's always hard to gauge, you know, what they're totally understanding, because they're clearly naive on some stuff.
Oh, sure, they are.
And they have a great understanding of others. Okay, Machota here going over his combine notebook takeaways. The Dez to Dallas reunion, not a dead story. Legitimate interest is what he's interpreting. I'll take his word for it, since he's there talking with the guys and, you know, had a chance to look at Jerry while he's saying this kind of stuff. I'm thinking it's under 10%. I deal in probabilities. I'll say under 10% for Dez. Do you want to go higher or lower, Broadus?
I think you're absolutely correct. I think this is more about, can we get the workout? Can we get the workout, and then we'll allow him other opportunities? If the workout is good, maybe it will give him an opportunity to sign here. But I'm with you on this. I just want to see the workout.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
It's not close if they have to choose between Dak and Amari. They're trying to get one of the two deals done before the CBA, and maybe a couple of days ago they weren't planning on having talks with agents. Well, they've had talks with all three of the main agents that are free agents. If they can only tag one, though, it's clear it's going to be Dak. I don't think there's any doubt that that's the right decision. I was surprised some people are bent out of shape. The Cowboys are voting for the new CBA, and that takes away their double tag option. I would love, you know, but I would love if they were so competitive that they were like, the CBA can hold off while we're trying to build the best roster possible.
Sure.
But I'm just so used to American sports owners so heavily, you know, dealing with the business first. And now we can compete after we've maximized our leverage. But I don't know. Where do you come out on that? You were in that building.
Yeah, I come out with the fact that listening to Jerry Jones talk, he was very – he was talking about this being his last one. You hope the Jerry lives to 150, you know, and that's the kind of man he is. He was always great to me, but I he sees what it is. It needs to be this way for the league, for the league to go forward, for the players and for the ownership. They've got to have this deal done because of TV, the players. But he's most happy about the fact that the players, the middle-class players, not all his stars, it's the middle-class players are the ones that are going to benefit from this the most. And I think that's what he's the most proud about.
That's how they're going to have to do it.
Yep.
By finding more value than everybody else, picking apart that middle range of free agency.
And that's how they're going to whip the votes. Middle class is going to vote for this to pass.
Yeah.
It's not about, we're hearing the stars. No. We're hearing all these stars. The middle class are the ones that are going to push this.
Yeah.
They're whipping those votes right now.
And an hour ago, we had the story that the salary cap could go to 205 in year one if we get a new CBA. So, boom, how would you guys like to share a little bit more extra money in the kitty?
Absolutely.
Here? And it's just all geared at ways of touching each individual player inside that NFLPA. Everybody has a burning issue, right? Is it Article 46? Okay, we're going arbitrator. Is it weed? Okay, it's going to be really hard to get suspended. You want a little bit more cash? Boom, here's your cash. What else do you need?
Yeah.
We're willing to give you a little bit extra on whatever you're looking for so we can renegotiate this TV deal.
Boy, I tell you, hit the nail on the head right there, General.
Okay. Can we get this cut here, Lucius? Do you have cut one from Jerry where he's talking about he doesn't think the Cowboys need Cooper for Dak to be at his best? Here we go, Jerry Jones at the Combine.
And I don't want to imply that Dak needs a supporting cast more than others, but I think every player goes with who his teammates are. And the reality of it is you have to make those adjustments. It's real. It's real. And so I feel Dak's... that we can put a team around him that will work. You could put we need to be paying some people less than we paid him under the old contract. We'll have to pay some people less than we would have had he been under the old contract. We all understand that. But sometimes those that you pay less can do approach almost as well or better because you're not perfect on making that decision either. And so, I'm not in that camp of just saying, look, any dollar you don't take gives me a guard for you or gives me a receiver for you. I'm not into that camp because I know it doesn't quite work that way, but it helps. It helps. And but let's just leave it at that. We gain nothing by putting that argument on Dak, because I'm not so sure it's a real argument anyway.
It is an interesting conversation for us on sports radio, Gallup plus Cobb. You know, how dynamic would that be? If you believe in any way you could put a good team around Dak and save $20 million, considering your cap situation, I think you'd have to have a very serious conversation about it.
Oh, I agree with the conversation, though, but to say that Dak doesn't need players around him, isn't that defeating what he's trying to do? Isn't he trying to build the best team? He's talking about drafting the best players and all that, you know? So to me, I disagree with the boss on that one, though. I think Dak needs help. Yeah. I do. And let's
than others?
Well, yes, I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if paying $20 million to a receiver that's selfish and disappears during games is the right thing either, though, too.
Yeah, it's a tough thing with players, with wide receivers. I can't find many other than DeAndre Hopkins that I'm like, wow, there's no issues. I mean, even Julio gets hurt, or Julio went through a spell where he wasn't scoring touchdowns. Odell Beckham Jr. has been hurt. You know, I think the majority of the top wide receivers bring something you have to, manage. Most players. But so I look at Amari Cooper, and part of me totally agrees with what you're saying right there, that it's too inconsistent. But if you take the big picture of what he's done in the 20 games since he got here, 25 games since he got here, you take it.
No, I there's no question. But there's that. Now I do have a little bit of doubt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hear you. Okay. Elsewhere at the NFL draft, Adam Schefter. Here we go. Todd McShay bet Mel Kiper $5,000. Jordan Love will go ahead of Justin Herbert in April's draft. Loser of the bet sends $5,000 to the V Foundation. So really cool, I guess, ESPN thing for the reporters and family. But what do you think the chances are that the arm talent wins over when they go through the evaluations and the pro days and everything, that Jordan Love could be taken higher than Justin Herbert?
I think that teams would be foolish to go that route. Herbert, to me, if you look at him, what he's done at Oregon, the body of work, the 4 years he's been there, the Pac-12 competition, all that, I think that when you look at quarterbacks, you're trying to eliminate mistakes. There's far few things you have to eliminate with his game as you do with Love.
Okay, this afternoon, coming up at 4 o'clock, radio.com sports NFL insider Jason LaConfora is going to join us live from the Combine. He'll have the very latest, and he'll be brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Coming up next, Mike Fisher is set to join us. He has the very latest Cowboys and Mavs. A double insider is going to give you the local headlines and what you need to know, the inside word, next on The Fan. Whoa, we are back. G-Bag Nation. Yeah, Jason LaConfora coming up at 4, CBS Sports Insider. FC Dallas, a home opener or season opener, is tomorrow. So I know there's going to be they used to do a 24-hour tailgate up there before the game. So salute to all the tailgaters and all the people that are going to be having fun. I believe the tailgate should start at 5 because tomorrow's game's at 5. And I believe it's going to be on TXA 21 as they take on the Philadelphia Union.
We still do the scarf around the Lamar Hunt.
The Lamar Hunt scarfing?
Yeah. Still got that, right?
A lot of cool deals and a lot of good talent up there at FC Dallas. I have 60 seconds on soccer. Do you hear about the Clemson kicker? We'll do this a little bit later. You hear about the Clemson kicker, though? He turned down a chance to play for Dabo and maybe win a national championship. He's over there at FC Dallas.
Yeah.
So he's gonna
3-year deal.
Very talented guy, and it's great to have him in DFW. So best of luck over the weekend there to FC Dallas. Joining us now here is a double insider. He's got the Cowboys and Mavs beat covered like a blanket. He's Mike Fisher.
He's in the building!
How the hell are you, Fish?
I'm outstanding, boys. How would you like it if I would kept this thing up by bringing in a Johnny Manziel versus Dez Bryant comparison?
Okay, that sounds interesting.
I thought it might. So, Jerry on the bus yesterday, Mr. Jones, speaking to the collected DFW media at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. He brings up Dez Bryant. He does so, of course, colorfully by saying, yeah, he's been thinking a lot about Dez while he's in the shower, and that's a lot of fun. And it's reminiscent, of course, of 31 years ago when his compliment to Troy Aikman before having ever seen him play was, well, he looks good in the shower. So every 31 years we plotted Jerry does something in the shower that has football meaningfulness.
You know, that's a good place to think. I guess a good place to evaluate your players. I don't know.
There's no film study in there, but otherise, yeah, it's a good think place. So yeah. I'm wondering, what's the possibility that Jerry just said nice things about Dez because Jerry knew that it would become monster headlines, and surely it has. It's one of the biggest stories in the NFL, Jerry and Dez in the shower.
I could totally buy into that. Even when they cut him, Jerry never really said anything negative about him in public. You know, it was a lot of Stevens saying, we'll have to see if it makes sense and all that. But I think Jerry would rather maintain the relationship and be able to look these guys and say, man, I'll never say anything bad about you in public.
Okay.
I might try to drudge something up to negotiate a contract, but I got you when it comes to radio and TV.
All right, I will buy that. And then at the same time, part of Jerry's speech to the media was, And he really thought this through, and he said, and I think DallasCowboys.com has the video, and he said, you know, I know Dez, and then he hesitated and thought about it, and he said, I think I know Dez better than anybody in the world knows Dez.
Wow.
Which is quite a statement. I know. That's quite a statement. And by the way, not untrue, right, Brian? That rings true.
He has been with him through thick and thin.
And, of course, we know Jerry, the paterfamilias, and now the grandfather figure, that he enjoys the closeness with almost all those players and has certain players that he holds in high regard in that way, relationship-wise. So my thinking is this. Unlike Johnny Manziel, who Jerry likes to throw out there as a Cowboy connection, even though it never was. It was never a
– Fortunately, never really, that would have been the worst pick ever.
Probably so,
yeah. Brown should get kicked out of the league for drafting him.
You know, we could, I guess, general theorize – would have been somehow different if he would have gone to a different place. But based on his personal performance and his professional performance, I think most of us agree with your view. But I don't – because Jerry doesn't really know Manziel, I think Jerry's comfortable with just letting that one be a story. It's Paul Onion and Babe the Blue Ox and the Jolly Green Giant and Johnny Manziel was almost a cowboy, and it's a heck of a story. Would he do that to Dez? Would he just throw Dez into the headlines just because he wanted the Cowboys to be in the headlines today? And I think not.
Well, he was just answering a question, though, wasn't he?
Right, but he could have given the same semi-committed answer that other people in the organization, including Steven, have committed. Instead, I mean, he went pretty strong with grabbing the headlines. And I think while he doesn't know Johnny Manziel well enough to care whether or not Manziel gets dangled out there a little bit, I would like to believe that Jerry wouldn't do that to Dez just for the show, and that therefore Jerry is serious about this contemplation of seeing if Dez Bryant can still play a lick after the Achilles and seeing if Dez Bryant, in terms of where his head is at, would be as comfortable as he tells me he would be in being the fourth receiver, a supplemental guy. Let me run some tight end style routes. I'll just do it in the red zone. I think the Cowboys have to explore this. And I think that's what Jerry Jones is really trying to tell us.
Hey, Fish, I was going to ask you this question. Listening to Jerry Jones talk, he was talking about the middle class, really, of the roster and where the money fit and how it was going to benefit those guys, right? You heard that part of it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think Jerry was whipping the votes to get that out that, hey, middle class, you're going to be – these are the guys that are going to vote for this, right? I mean, that the upper echelon guys are going to fight this, but it's going to be those guys in the middle class of that roster are the ones that are going to swing this vote. Do you think Jerry's message was to them that, no, hey, this is a good deal. It's a good deal for you. It's a good deal for us. It's a good deal going forward. Do you think that's what his message was on that bus yesterday about this CBA deal?
I do. I think that, and obviously the rank and file are the guys that don't make $35 million. And the rank and file, by the way, Brian, are the guys that need vision care on their insurance. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need vision care on his insurance. He can figure it out himself. But
straight cash.
Those guys, yeah. But the middle class, and of course the middle class still makes, relative to most of us, a lot of money, although as I point out often, the average NFL player makes $900,000. I mean, it's a fortune, but it's not a fortune. You play 2 years in the NFL for $900,000. It's not like you're set for life. So, yeah, I think, Brian, I think it's the right message to those guys. You're not getting everything you wanted, but you're getting a lot, and you're getting benefits, lifetime health care and those kind of things that will help you in the long run. The 17th game and the extra playoff and all that kind of stuff, you know, that's more football, and I think that's a different debate. But in terms of can the middle class get taken care of better with this CBA than it's ever been before, and I think that answer is absolutely yes.
Mike Fisher here with us in the G-Bag Nation. That would be fun. What else you have going on, Fish?
Okay, to the Dak Prescott family thing. And we talked about the number of people that Jerry has a closeness to. And I think back, you know, unfortunately, it's not quite this way now, but Aikman and Jerry Jones, that was really special. Michael Irvin and the Jones family, that remains very special. We know about Jason Witten, which is why Jerry just can't give up on the idea of Witten as a cowboy. He just can't stomach it. And I get it. You go on a bunch of Greek cruises with the Witten family and the Jones family, and you get pretty tight. And then, of course, Tony Romo names his third son Jones. I think that tells you how special those two families find each other to be. And now along comes Dak Prescott and Jerry telling the gang yesterday, basically, like, he's as important to me as Steven. He's like a family member. We can't go forward without a family member. Now, by this time, after hearing this for 30 years, I'm sure Steven, Charlotte, and Jerry Jr. just giggle at it. But it is quite a compliment that the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, in fact, almost all the quarterbacks of the Dallas Cowboys who've ever been any good get to be Jerry Jones's fourth son. I do think that this might be, Brian, a little trick-em-ick-em on Jerry's part, because that's a pretty good final card to play when you're sitting down with Dak and you're looking at him eye to eye. And now maybe it's not just who's the agent? Todd France from CAA. Yeah. Maybe it's not just Steven and Todd. Maybe Jerry and Dak are sitting there too. And Jerry looks Dak in the face and tells him, listen, you're like a son to me. That's how important you are to me. That's how we're going to take care of you. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm listening to that, and I think I'm believing that. Maybe enough to give up $1 million here and $1 million there.
Yeah, I'm all right with that. You know, I think it was a problem when he looked at his head coach like his son because it made him wait 3 or 4 years too long to let him go. But I don't think there's going to be that type of ambiguity about performance when it comes to the quarterback. If he's not playing well, you know, those family ties will, you know, I'm sure they will still remain, but they just won't be reporting to work in the same location. So,
yeah. And, you know, Devin, this is an old Michael Irvin saying that he used to say to me, and it's a beauty. Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. And that's what you're saying about Jerry. Jerry's family tie. He thinks, now I'm not trying to pretend that this isn't a $5 billion business and there's some cutthroat nature. You know, every billionaire stepped on some toes to get there. I'm not arguing against that. But Jerry really does. And Broadus, you can speak to this. Jerry thinks football is family.
Yeah, that's true.
And he really does. And you know, he's treated me a certain way. And I don't work there. He's treated Brian Broadus a certain way, and you did work there, and yep. You rave about how you were treated by the Jones family.
Love the guys.
And so, again, that doesn't make him infallible. That doesn't mean we agree with everything he does. In fact, one of the beauties of Jerry is he doesn't really care too much. He doesn't object too much if we disagree with some of the things he does. But your greatest strength is your greatest weakness, meaning, Gavin, as you say, I fall in love with the people that are around me like they're my sons and my brothers and my daughters and my family, and that's a great strength unless you fall so far in love that you forget to fire your head coach.
Fish, is it going to be a mistake tagging Cooper and letting Byron Jones walk?
You better throw Robert Quinn into that pile.
I don't want to throw Robert Quinn in that pile because I'm okay. Interested. I don't think I'm going to get Robert Quinn done, okay? But I'm just saying if you had a choice to keep either Cooper or keep Byron Jones, who do you keep?
I wish if the price was the same, I think Amari Cooper has a chance to be special. And okay. the people that coached him and coach him think he has a chance to be a Hall of Famer, talent-wise. So I hate to give up on that. I'll tell you this, though, Brian. It would take some big brass ones for the Cowboys to say, you know what, we gave up a first-round pick for Amari. He's been good here. He didn't quite get us over the hump. Let's just say goodbye to him. Let's make Michael Gallup the top receiver here. Let's go use a first or second round pick in a wide receiver rich draft and go pay, you know, $2 million for one, and let's move along. Most teams don't do that, maybe because it requires that level of cojones. But as you like to point out often, this general manager can do crazy things, wild things, gutsy things, because his boss won't fire him.
Yeah, you know, I think that's done. I think you spent the first rounder for a season and a half of Amari, and now he's a free agent and you have cap space. So correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no actual value that you would be losing if you choose to spend your $20 million somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's how I would look at it if I'm the Cowboys. We don't have to be obligated to sign him just because he saved our 2018 and was pretty good for us in 2019. We need to do what's best with this $20 million right now. That's in the past.
We should ask, and I will, ask the guys in the building who are in charge of the puzzle if it's viable to say, instead of 20 for Amari, how about 12 for Robert Quinn and 8 for another guy? They found Robert Quinn, again, making $12 million, but they got Robert Quinn for a 6-round pick. That's outstanding use of your capital, and the argument here is $20 million for a good player with great potential, Amari, worth $20 million.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at a situation, too. In Washington, they're already talking about getting rid of Haskins after 1 year. You know, think about that. Think about drafting a quarterback the way they did, and all of a sudden it's like, well, hey, we're looking at other quarterbacks now. I don't think you're married to any of these guys.
Yeah, if you look at it like, and I'm not a big stock guy. Gavin, that sounds like your bag. I bet you are.
You know, actually, it's more Jeff and Lucius.
Okay, then maybe Lucius.
I'm more of a 401k guy. I'm just like, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be all right down the road if I keep giving them 5%.
Yeah, go America. America's going to be fine. That's me, too.
Yeah.
But maybe Lucius can chime in on this. But so I've invested, you know, $5,000 in this stock, and it's not working. Do I dump it or do I ride it? Because part of my thinking is, well, I didn't put $5,000 in there. I hate to admit the mistake. That's the Cooper $20 million argument right there.
Well, Mike, it's all about your plan before you spend that five.
Okay.
What's my plan?
It's all about your plan. If you see him going the long way, then you hold it for the long way. if you see it not going the way you want, take your losses and get out of there.
Lucius, I'd like to make an appointment in your office on Monday morning.
Come on, brother.
He's got lots of tips. All right. What else going on, Fish?
Okay. We suggested the other day that the Cowboys were starting to whisper the idea that Quinn is on the same level with Byron Jones. And now, Brian brought us, you can go there with me. How about, is Robert Quinn at $12 million a better value, more important value than Byron at 15, especially when my head coach just said, we're going to carry six pass rushers. I already got one of them with one foot in the door. Maybe I should keep the one I got.
That would be awesome if you have the money, Fish. You know, but I think what we're seeing is maybe the Cowboys are talking about drafting defense and, you know, not really talking in a committed way about signing defense because they know it's not going to happen and they're not going to flip the switches on the contracts.
Yeah.
You know, we're used to the Cowboys being aggressive and we're contending. We got to keep our guys. I think Steven being more in charge of the cap and negotiating and stuff, his voice has been elevated and he takes a much different approach to team building than Dad, who wanted to hoard assets and try to make it happen every year.
Okay, and of course, last note, speaking of Dad, what he is into, no matter how much he might let go of the sharp pencil in other areas, Dad is in charge of the football world. So when he said yesterday, and he just kind of threw it out there very casually, hey, you know, it might be kind of fun if we got to go ahead and we'd be the home opener for the Rams in their new stadium. And heck, maybe we could be the home opener for the Raiders in their new stadium in Las Vegas, too. And, of course, the Jerry we know wasn't just throwing that out randomly. The relationship that the Joneses have with the Kroenke family, Stan Kroenke in Los Angeles, a stadium that Jerry basically helped build.
Yep.
The Cowboys play the Rams in the regular season anyway. I would say go ahead and pencil that in, if I was you, that the Rams' first regular season home game is going to be against the Dallas Cowboys. Because Jerry wants to do Kroenke a favor, Kroenke wants to do Jerry a favor. What better way to open the stadium to get the most eyeballs possible than to have this glorious new building and the shiny Dallas Cowboys? And then in the preseason, and Brian, you know this drill very well, for years and years and years now, the Cowboys training in Oxnard. So they play preseason games at San Diego, preseason games at Oakland, at San Francisco, at Arizona, because it's logistically sensible. Well, Las Vegas is very logistically sensible. And so I would say let's pencil in Cowboys at Rams
yeah.
for the Rams' first home game and Cowboys at Raiders for the Las Vegas new stadium first home game. That one, of course, in the preseason. Pencil it in, I say.
That's music to Cowboys fans' ears. We get to go invade stadiums as they're opening it up for the first time. This is our house.
It's funny you say that because Cowboys at Rams really is that way. They just that fan base hasn't quite grabbed it yet. And Cowboys at Raiders, and I think this is one of the fears that the league is kind of ignoring, but they know it's coming. There won't be Raiders fans in that building. There'll be gamblers in the building.
Yeah.
Who bought they went to the Wynn facility or whatever. They bought a weekend at the hotel. They bought a bunch of chips. They bought tickets to the game. And so that can be a Cowboys home game in Las Vegas the same way it's been in Los Angeles the last couple of years.
He's in the building.
Mike, real quick, any update on Lucas' thumb for tonight in Miami?
The idea on his 21st birthday, going against Goran Dragic, who is idle, with 2,500 Slovenians having traveled here from Slovenia to see him play, there's no way that he's not going to rub some dirt on it and perform at a high level at Miami tonight.
Play one-handed if I have to.
And you know what? He could do it and then pass it to himself. So, yeah, Luka, I just can't imagine that he won't play well, and then afterwards go up with Goran Dragic and go into the crowd and have a big party with 2,500.
Appreciate you, Fish. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, boys.
Yeah. We'd call that the Jim Abbott triple-double.
Yeah.
One-handed. I'd like to see somebody go out and try to do that. Heck, you know, Greg Oden shot free throws left-handed in college because his right wrist ligament was torn.
Okay.
And he made over 50%. I think it was like ridiculous number, like 70%, something like that. It can happen. People can make it happen. Byron Leftwich, broken foot. I'll keep playing. Segment's brought to you by My Computer Career, and it's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. Coming up next here, G-Bag Nation, baseball stuff. Are you buying or selling this piece about teams who are better than we think? And guess who is on this list? It's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day. It's time for a little baseball stuff with us. The segment's brought to you by Mark Rubin. If credit card companies are blowing up your phone, do it more. Fan listeners do. Make a free call to Mark Rubin at 800-LAWYERS. He'll stop all the harassing collection calls and stress. Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS, official lawyers of the Tolo, Rubin and Associates. And here we go. Yeah, it's time for some baseball news out of Surprise, Arizona. We'll start here with a story out of MLB.com. You buying and selling this? Richard Justice, who's a very credible respected baseball voice across the community, you buying or selling? He did a piece on teams that are better than we think they are right now. We're underestimating these teams. So I punch up this list, and I'm like, well, surely the Rangers aren't on this list. They didn't get the big bat. They're kind of like what they were last year. But Justice launches in. He goes, GM John Daniels has developed perhaps the best starting rotation the Rangers have ever had with offseason acquisitions Corey Kluber, Kyle Gibson, Jordan Lyles, Mike Minor, Lance Lynn. In addition, Texas has minor league pitching depth that could prove critical over a long season. There are a lot of names down there we're familiar with and have had a little bit of MLB experience. And you can typically make great gains when you come up to the big leagues in a year and then have a winter off to think about it, to digest the lessons you learned, to apply yourself in spring training. That's an opportunity to get significantly better. I'm not saying all of them will, but if just a couple of them do and you need a couple of those guys for 2 or 3 weeks, that could be huge. I do like that. It's a good point. Then he goes, if the two veterans in the middle of the field, shortstop Elvis Andrus and second base Rougned Odor, have better seasons, the Rangers could make a run at the Astros and A's in the AL West. That'd be a lot of fun, Brian.
Yeah, I think so, too. He didn't mention anything about the relief pitching, though, right?
No.
I mean, see, that's the thing. I'm interested when we get Mike Bacsik, boots on ground there next week in Surprise, and how he's able to evaluate what he's seeing with those relievers. I know we had Jared on last night, Jared Sandler, and I was talking about first base. Is there a battle there? But I was looking for these relief pitchers. I'm looking at the list of names. I'm going, who are these guys? Who are they? Who is going to be that guy? Again, appreciate the starting pitching. Yeah, maybe it can carry you through, and you don't have to use or lean on that. But history has told us, though, with the Rangers, though, it tends to be they do lean on their relief pitchers. And I just didn't see anybody there that would make me say, okay, they've got two or three guys they can hang their hats on, and now we're going to go to battle.
Yeah, I mean, it is a nice staff. And if that staff stays healthy and you have a couple of them who have really good years, if Corey Kluber bounces back anywhere close to Cy Young and Mike Minor does what he does last year with Lance Lynn as well, now you're talking about a really good rotation. But you're right about the bullpen. And the Rangers have been of the mind that we'll see if we're good and then go acquire the bullpen, because relievers run hot and cold.
Absolutely.
You can invest a bunch of money in the offseason in a reliever and not have it work out. So I think they like to wait to know they're good. And I do have confidence. I don't have a lot of confidence in JD with stuff, and I'll rip them.
You're fair.
It gets damn near vulgar. Yeah. Thank you.
You've been fair.
Thank you. But man, he can trade, and his staff can look on other teams and see pitchers like Mike Minor or like Jake Diekman or like Sam Dyson from a couple of years ago and be like, you know what, guys, I think we can get these dudes, change their role a little bit, have them throw a different pitch, and all of a sudden they've been very, very effective for the Rangers. But what are they going to do about their defense? I still don't think it's good. And what are they going to do about their ability to get another bat in that lineup? If Rugi's amazing, sure, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Think of Rugi and Elvis like they were on other teams and how you would look at them if the Angels were coming with Elvis and Rugi. You'd say, okay, Elvis, nice shortstop. Maybe career didn't hit the ceiling that they thought it was. And Rugi's just a guy that got lucky that he was hot and the team thought they were getting a great deal by signing him early. I mean, that's all that happened. These guys are perennially not, plus type of hitters that this team needs. So Joey Gallo goes off.
Yeah.
Could Todd Frazier have a big year?
Right.
Could Shin-Soo Chu late in his career hit for average and get on base 40% of the time? These things could happen. But I think the number of things you need to happen becomes too much to imagine actually contending with the Astros and A's. I think they could be in the wild card hunt, though, deep into the season and keep us entertained. I think they still need one more offseason, though, Brian. They still are looking for that bat.
I kind of, when you said that about Ruggie, I was thinking of Jalen Smith.
Yeah.
You know, that immediately came to mind, the guy that kind of caught lightning in the bottle there a little bit, and then you probably signed him a little earlier than you should have.
Yeah.
You know,
and some of those you bank and you're like, oh, what a great signing. Yeah. I can't believe we have this guy.
Oh, they're ahead of the curve. Yeah.
I mean, the Tyron Smith deal was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, from time to time, they do work out great for teams. I know, Mike talks about that a lot, how you have to be right. Okay, elsewhere here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan, we're talking about baseball stuff with us. And John Heyman, speaking of Houston, John Heyman, another very respected baseball writer, had a quote on WFAN of note, Brian.
Yeah, he sure did, you know. And he was saying that he was predicting that the Astros would fall off significantly this coming season. Hmm. Even with all that talent, they were, you know, hey, they're going to have problems. He says, I quote, I think there's going to be a tremendous distractions. The fans of other teams are going to be relentless. It's going to be very difficult for them. I do think these players are very talented, and they've been great for a number of years. Just not a trash can year, but I expect them to have a bad year this year. I do think that Dusty Baker was the right guy to bring in, but I don't think he's going to be able to solve what is a very, very big problem and a major distraction, and a pale cast has been over this team.
Yeah, you know, there's so many different ways you could go with that. What's the player's confidence like? You know, what did they cheat last year? Do they even know that they're good hitters now? Are they starting to second guess their accomplishments? I don't know about that angle.
I'm of the thought, and this is just a guy that's been in work for teams. I think things like this galvanize you, and I know it's probably you're like, shut up, Broadus. No.
But I hear you.
But when you really do, when you have that us against the world mentality, and I'm sorry to use the cliche like that, that's not my intent.
That's exactly what it is,
but,
though.
But my intent is to, when you don't have that belief, I saw it this year at LSU with my alma mater. You know, they started believing, people like, they beat Texas, it's a fluky win. They won some games. But by the end, they were galvanized. They really were. People were like, Ohio State's still better. Clemson's still better. Alabama's still better. But they really, really believed that they were better. I believe that the Astros are going to look at it this way.
And if they have that, that will be enough to make John Heyman wrong, don't you think?
Yo, absolutely. Because enough people, the John Heymans, the respected, you and I talking about it every day, it's going to, people hear it, gets in, it gets to you, and they say, well, we don't listen. We block out the outsides. No, you don't. Mm-hmm. You really don't. You live this every day.
Yeah.
And for the Astros, very talented roster, but can they overcome? And, you know, for him to make that kind of call, I trust the guy. I John Heyman, I like what you're saying, but I think it's going to be the opposite with the Astros.
Well, he's probably seen a bunch of Astros get hit by pitch already this week in the opening week. You can take that. You can take the circus that was 2 weeks ago when they tried to talk and smooth things over. And does he, my question, and I hate talking with people who are sourced because sometimes they can't share things, but I would also wonder, have you talked to people with the Astros that are sharing, wow, it's really weird in there. Guys don't even want to hang out in the clubhouse. They're coming in and punching the clock and wanting to get out of here because they have to escape the pressure or the hate from the outside. I don't know. It certainly seems like they might have created their own personal ecosystem that's going to allow them to block out the noise, though, once they get home, right?
Right.
And if they do have enough players, I mean, Correa and Bregman, they're star players. These are guys that were top five picks, right? They're not like guys who didn't have the talent and cheated to be awesome. They're guys that had the talent and cheated to make sure they were going to win the World Series.
Right.
But I still think they could be very, very good if their heads are screwed on straight. You know, teams are spending a lot of money. The Cowboys just hired an assistant head coach whose main role is to try to keep the players' heads screwed on straight.
Right.
So that tells you how important this stuff is. And I don't think if any of them miss the mental toughness component, it's not going to take many of them to be in a bad spot where it's going to be hard. Because maybe the guys that do think they're good enough, if they look on the faces of their teammates and a few guys are cracking, then you're like, hey, man, you need to put that stuff away. And now you have debates about what we should do with coping with being called cheaters everywhere we go.
It divides the team.
Yeah, there's so many ways it can go weird. I mean, and then the hit batters. Are you going to get guys suspended? Do you have to brawl? Are you showing up at work thinking about what do I do when that guy throws me a 3-2 curveball? Or are you showing up thinking, what am I going to do when that guy beans me? Am I going to go fight him? Do I got to tell my wife and kid, don't watch tonight's game because daddy might get punched or daddy might be violent and I don't want y'all to see that?
This will be on the Astros pitching staff then.
Yeah.
If my guys are getting hit, it's my job to retaliate.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job. Yeah. You know, and if you want to come to the mound and fight me, you're the one's going to get kicked out.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to follow this opening day for the Texas Rangers coming up March 27th in Seattle. The first pitch will be here on The Fan, 3:00 in the afternoon, and now under a month. Okay, there you have it. Baseball stuff with us. Do you have any other baseball stuff that's been rattling around up there in your big sports brain, Brock?
No, I'm just trying to pay as much attention as I can, though. See what the Yankees can do with that pitching staff.
Yeah.
Some things, got some injuries and stuff. You know, are they going to make a deal? What are we going
to
see?
That's starting to look like the Yankees teams from 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When we were doing sports radio, like, geez, will the Yankees ever lose the World Series again? Is this unfair?
Yeah.
All right, I look up at the clock here at the tail end of baseball stuff with us, and I think you're down with this as well, Broadus. Now, without Jeff Kavanaugh in the room, maybe I can push it to 120 seconds on soccer. Let's do this.
A little extra time.
Yeah, the Clemson signee Tanner Tesman signed a 3-year deal with FC Dallas on Thursday, opting to begin his pro career over playing with Dabo and the Tigers.
Dabo!
Signed with Clemson Soccer in December, would have also played football for the team. He's 18, originally from Bama. Joined FC Dallas Academy in 16 as a midfielder and scored 25 goals in 67 appearances at the U.S. Soccer Development Academy. So that's awesome. Swinney says he was one of their best athletes. He's one of the best. He could play D1 basketball. He could probably start at receiver at Clemson. He could probably play safety at Clemson. He's a 6'2 phenom. He can fly. He's as good an athlete as I've ever seen. So Dabo giving him a proper send-off.
Maybe we'll see him beat Ghana one day in a qualifier or something like that. So I don't have to be disappointed about getting beat by Ghana.
Don't get greedy, Brian.
I'm trying.
Don't go assuming wins against programs like Trinidad and Tobago either.
No, please, no.
For USA Soccer.
Here we go.
Very stressful time. By the way, FC Dallas opens tomorrow, I believe, on TXA 21 at 5:00. Tickets on sale.
Yeah.
Maybe this will shock the program. I don't know if you saw this, though. Remember Jermaine Jones in the 2014 World Cup? He was one of the German guys.
He was.
Scored some great goals for us and, you know, got us into the elimination round where we lost to Belgium. He was asked, what's going on with U.S. soccer? Because since 2014, they moved out Klinsmann. And Bruce Arena came in, and he tried to save it, and they didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2018, a massive embarrassment.
Yeah.
Well, Jermaine Jones saying, well, Bruce Arena, with all due respect, is the worst coach I've ever had in my whole career, the worst. And he's like the number one American coach. How can you go from Bob Bradley and Jurgen Klinsmann to Bruce Arena? Like, what are you doing, guys? And with all due respect, there are some players, they play a national team now. They're not national team players, with all due respect. This is why we struggle. But nobody says that. It'll hurt MLS because MLS is saying, wait a minute, if he helps them out and he brings a guy in who's an MLS player after a couple of times playing national team, he's not a national team player, but now we can sell it better. You know, we have USA team players on our MLS rosters. Says everything we're doing here is run like a family business. Who do I know and who can help me out? Bruce Arena's son, Kenny, come on. He's not a coach. But then straight away, he's a national team assistant coach. Just going off on the U.S. soccer program. And I do think we have to, you know, be really focused with this deal. Don't get greedy trying to monetize it. You know, you need to treat this thing like a purely competitive format. And U.S. soccer has ulterior motives just as much as some of the lameness that happens across American sports in other places.
Why can every time I pass by, and FC Dallas, by the way, won an award for their academy.
Yeah, best boys academy, top 10 girls academy.
You know, but congratulations to that. But why? Why can we not play this sport? And I understand, you know, they people are telling me about football players. Oh, they're all going to play soccer and other things. They're going to do, athletes are going to do other things.
We have plenty of people.
Why? Yeah,
plenty.
Why do we struggle so badly at the sport?
I think it's coaching, and I think it's our culture. We play soccer as an organized activity instead of a passionate sport. You go around to the other countries, they're playing pickup games in the backyard when families get together.
So they're not playing side yard football on Thanksgiving. We're kicking the ball. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's that number of touches and creative autonomy in the developmental years when you're playing it like we play pickup basketball here. It gives a massive advantage for the developing soccer IQ and the brains at the important age. That's my theory. Okay, when we come back, Jason Lockenfor is an NFL insider. He's been cruising at the Combine. Where's Dez going? Is the CBA going to be ratified? And more next in The Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.